Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day and all the answered prayers that came with it. Thank you also for blessing everyone on the prayer list that's in need, be it spiritual or physical blessings. We lift up Darren and his family because his grandfather died last night or yesterday sometime. And so bless them in this time of grieving. And we pray that you bless everyone that's involved with all that and so they can see your hand move. We also thank you, Father, for blessing our gathering here with your presence, giving us that which we need on Sabbath, which is a changing of the showbread, and giving us everything we need to go forth and to glorify you, especially the latter rain. Thank you for forgiving us and cleansing us and blessing us so that we can be worthy of that rain. And thank you again for hearing this prayer and blessing us in the name of your Son, our Savior, and our King for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. All right. First, for those of you that are having a little difficulty getting into WTPR, if you're in the room or on the stream, I'm using a different method of streaming, and I'm probably going to be changing this again next week, but it won't affect how you get in. It's just a different server I'll be bouncing from because this one here seems to be ridiculously expensive if I choose to buy it. But they come with these HTML5 players and stuff like that, and that's what's on the site. If you're using a computer, you just hit the play button and it starts playing fine. But I'm thinking anywhere from 50% or more of people's cell phones. Like, I've got two cell phones here, and both of them, when I go to get on WTPR, both of them come up saying you need to put in a username and a password. I emailed them. It takes them 3 or 4 days to answer emails, and they still haven't responded back with this one. And it's like 3 or 4 days ago I asked. And so I'll probably be dumping that player. I put the old-looking speaker with the waveform next to it under it this afternoon. Sister Tracy couldn't get in, so I figure, well, there's a link underneath that says if the above player doesn't work, click here. But to make it a little bit more obvious, I put the old graphic that I had there with a speaker and the blue waveform. It'll bring you to the same place that other link does, the new link, and that's the WTPR page on their server, which is weird. Sometimes it says offline, even though it is online. But that page doesn't seem to have issues. There's a play button on the top right. You click that, and you're in WTPR. And then the other thing I don't like about it, unless you pay them $80 a month, which I'm not going to do, it's just way too expensive. We don't get enough users for that. They will make it to where they won't shut the server down twice a month. And that may have been what happened last night because no one could get in. Then I found out the server on their end was down. And so they do some kind of maintenance twice a month, or it's a spanking for not having, not paying them. There's a $29 version as well, but that's still not worth it to me when there's other ones that are like for $9 a month. And so hopefully, the people that like to go on WTPR can get there easy enough now. But when you go to the WTPR page now, I put the old graphic back up. But it's underneath the new player, which doesn't work on all cell phones for some reason. It's HTML5. It's not even Flash. Even an iPhone. It'll work on an iPhone. But obviously they got some bugs, and they can't fix them because they never answered my email. So I'm going to eventually, this week I'll be setting up a different stream, but so that player will disappear because this company is this server that I was using. It's a free one. The only reason I went for it is because it's free. You have to advertise for them. That's what that little, powered by Castor FM or something. The thing I liked about it is they put you out there and let you have 400 up to 400 people listening on the stream, but it looks like they don't advertise for you. Because when I go to the WTPR page on their side, it says offline, even though it's online, 24/7. So they got too many bugs. I'm going to walk away from it. But at least we got it working now, and it's working fine. We got quite a few families in there now. So anyway, as is obvious, you know, like what I've been doing for the last month and a half in regards to the law of God on the sanctuary, because it is very important. As a matter of fact, thank you again, Brother Eli. He sent me, I'm going to read this to you. He sent me a text a little while ago. I'm going to read you two Bible verses, one from Proverbs and one from Psalms, okay? And now keep in mind, there's people out there that say the Ten Commandments have been abolished at the cross. Well, then how do you explain this? Proverbs 6:23. You might want to write this down because you could use this on the street. Proverbs 6:23. It says, "For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." That's Proverbs 6:23. It's talking about the law of God, obviously, right? Now look at Psalm 119:105. Psalm 119:105. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You know what that means, don't you? When they say the Ten Commandments are abolished, they're also saying the law, the word of God, is abolished. And in their fruit basket, because we're fruit inspectors, in their fruit basket, that's exactly what they're saying. That's exactly how they're walking. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. Call us Christians, just take away our shame kind of people. And so, but yeah, you can use this on the street for those people that say the law of God was abolished at the cross, because if that's the case, then so is the Bible. So, but again, as is obvious by the tens of thousands of apostate denominations out there, the law of God is something to them that was abolished at the cross, and therefore it's done away with. And yes, as we see now with mankind and how they, run in a herd, if you will, because they get overcome with fear, and we could see that very easily now with this so-called plandemic. Lies, as we see, going on out there in the media, becomes absolute truth to most of them, even though a couple of months ago, this very same group of people openly declare they don't believe anything they hear on the news. But yet now they're out there saying, we're all dying, we're dropping like flies. This shows us that many people who say they will never cave into receiving the mark of the beast can be just as easily herded or corralled with the rest into doing whatever the government says out of sheer terror. That is their test, their failing. Our test, of course, is to not let this all annoy us, because we know they're lying, and we know we can prove it, but, we can't let that bother us, because when they start pushing Sunday laws, it's the same thing. We know they're lying, and we know we can prove it, but no one's going to believe it, unless, of course, they actually study the Bibles. And so it's to be expected that after centuries, Satan and his many wolves on the pulpits, that he has placed as priests and preachers, most people have been conditioned to just give up and trust people in authority as if they would never lie to them. So this is what this has all been building up to. This is why paganism was invented, or any of these other false religions or idols. It was just Satan trying to figure out the best means possible to get everybody on the planet to believe his lies. And that's how it's been, for 6,000 straight years. And now it's all coming to a head, and it's coming to a head in our generation, praise his name. We get to see this. And that's why most people, most Christians, keep Sunday holy. And they see no issues with pagan holidays like Christmas or Easter. And nearly all of them consume poisonous foods that the Bible calls unclean, as well as drink alcohol to the point disease is just a normal fact of life today. Because once they fall for an easy lie like a Sunday Sabbath that's found nowhere in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, they'll most assuredly embrace all that paganism has to offer, right down to chomping down on shellfish or pork chops. I mean, seriously, when was the last time any of us heard anyone like when someone dies, unless of course it's like a like Darren's grandpa. Like usually, if someone dies in their 40s, 50s, or 60s, or even younger, when most people hear about them dying, they always ask, "Well, what killed them? What sickness killed them?" And a fraction of them die, you know, accidents or murder or even just old age. Most of the time it has to do with the disease they contracted, and rarely do you hear anyone say that the disease was brought on due to what they ate or they drank, because none of them read their Bibles, and so they are conditioned to just believe the wolf on the pulpit who says you can eat and drink whatever you please. I mean, just as Satan through his hardcore preachers say, do what thou willst, and so they do. You know, and when you tell them about Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14, about clean and unclean foods, they laugh at you and say, "Oh, that's Old Testament. You're all, you're old fashioned, all this other stuff." Really? Okay, well, come back to me when you get cancer. You know, praise God, we'll heal you if you actually believe truth at that point, because we've seen a lot of people who were told by their doctors that the doctors gave up and say there's nothing that we can do now. And this is after they've been poisoned with chemo and everything. Some of these people have been led by the Lord to come to our church family and seek out help, and they're healed just by changing their diets. And then, of course, there's some natural methods that are used, to like colloidal silver and stuff like that. Oh, and by the way, it's no mistake that the water turned red when Moses put all that gold dust in it. Anybody that's bought colloidal gold knows that's the color of water that's been affected by gold. So they drink a bunch of colloidal gold. Well, I don't know if it was colloidal to that extent, because I mean, there is some kind of a, I guess there could be, that's right, because grounding yourself, which people, some natural healers know about, like going outside, walking barefoot in the world, grounds you to the world. Or you could just stick, like I did this once in the backyard, a zinc rod and a copper rod in the ground and put a wire between them, and then you can get a current. And so an actual voltage. And if you do it into a tree, it sometimes doubles up to, doubles the voltage. You could do this in plants. Put a bunch of potted plants on your balcony or something and just put wires in them, and then, positive, negative, like that. Just like put them in series or parallel, rather. And then hook up a voltmeter and you'll get electricity that way. I got enough trees in my backyard to probably light up quite a few bulbs if I wanted to. So putting all that dust, that gold dust, in that river, which was grounded, would have an electrical current. As a matter of fact, back in the day, before the telephone poles were used for telephone wires and electrical wires, they were used for telegraph wires. And all they did with the telegraph wires is they would run it up the pole, run it to the next pole, run it down to the earth, ground it, and then go back up. And that's how they powered it. They just powered it by what was in the planet. And so, when it comes to them saying, do what thou willst, like the way they're doing it out there, getting back to all this, the same holds truth with God's law. Just as people are dropping like flies due to trusting the lies of their disease-ridden priests and preachers, they're also dying spiritually due to the lies they fell for when they tell them about how they need not keep God's law after accepting Jesus as Savior. And boy, I tell you, perfect timing, Brother Eli, with those Bible verses from Proverbs and Psalms. I mean, because right there, if they say the law is abolished, well, then so's the word. I mean, but the obedient heart moves towards God and His law, because we all know in the remnant church, it plainly says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. So how do they keep saying it's abolished when you got stuff that's after the cross of Christ saying things like this? Well, again, they don't read their Bibles. They read their pastors. And when they evangelize, they echo their pastors. This is like when people come on YouTube and they make certain statements in my videos. I say, your pastor's lying to you. And one of them recently says, oh, I'm not listening to my pastor. Well, then he's the liar then, if that's the case. The one that put the comment in. If you're saying that you didn't get this from your pastor, well, then you're the liar. You're the wolf and not the pastor. Because that's just the blunt reality of it all. I'm not going to gild the lily here and, like when someone's doing something sinful, I'm not going to say it's no big deal. I mean, when we keep God's law, our fruit becomes apparent enough for us to be identified by other obedient Christians. We literally become an open book to them, just as Paul proclaimed in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3, which says, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ," you know, letter of Christ or open book of Christ, "ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart," like I just said a minute ago from Hebrews chapter 10. So we're all open books, or epistles, as Paul put it. And that's why Jesus said, "It is by their fruits ye shall know them." You know, unknown by most. Before the world was created, and before the Lord etched his law in stone so as to influence the memories of the people of Israel, who at one time were the chosen people of God, this law was not etched in stone, for it was placed in the hearts of countless unfallen angels. I mean, it's written in Psalm 103. It's right there in verse 20. It says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." So how did they get around that? If it's about the cross, the angels are still keeping it up in heaven. It's just like the strange analogy that I've used many times on the street, and you can sometimes see eyebrows jump up. It's like the same thing with the secret rapture thing. It's kind of the same thing if you think about it. And what I mean is, they say that in the Old Testament all the believers kept the seventh day Sabbath, and then they said they kept it the seventh day Sabbath until Jesus Christ resurrected, which of course is a lie. We know they didn't keep Sunday holy until 321 AD, when Constantine forced them to do it. But anyway, that's what they say. So now, up until the time you die and go back to heaven, every Christian on the planet is supposed to be keeping Sunday holy. So this is what they're saying. Old Testament says you keep the seventh day Sabbath. New Testament says he changed it to Sunday, and then when you go to heaven, he changes it back to the seventh day Sabbath. You know, it's just like with the secret rapture thing. In other words, they say when Jesus comes back, there's a bunch. He splits the eastern sky, and all the saints are coming with him. All the saints come out of the ground, right? Yeah, that's what they say. All the saints resurrect, and they come out of the ground, and then. But the problem with that is, they also say to this day, ask them, "Where do you go when you die?" And they go, "Oh, you go to heaven, or if you're a naughty, you go to hell." I says, well, then who's coming out of those graves when Jesus Christ resurrects everybody at the second coming? See, that part they never seem to go the two and two. See, this is where Satan's laughing. This is the ball of confusion. You know, the basic definition of the word Babylon, to mix, you know, like truth with error. See, that's why Catholicism works. You give those people who are on the lower end of the totem pole when it comes to really wanting to do the things that would please God, because 86% of their theology is paganism. I mean, it's just off the chart evil. But they don't know that, because that's how they were raised. They think that it's godly to genuflect or kiss crosses or bow down and kiss the feet of statues or worship a pope by calling him Holy Father, because that's what they're doing. But then you look at the Baptists and the so-called Protestants that they don't seem to see much issue in some of the things that they do that's based in Catholicism, like Christmas and Easter and Sunday keeping and all this other stuff. But seeing how angels are eternal beings, unless of course you count Satan and the one third of heaven that fell with him so as to eventually turn to ashes at the end of the 1,000 years, as per prophetic utterance in our Bibles, because we know not all the angels are going to live for eternity. You know, two-thirds will, but not one-third. The eternal beings that we call angels, the obedient ones, they kept the law in eternity past. Who knows how long before earth came into existence? You know, and seeing how they refuse to disobey the author of the law, they will continue to keep the law of God all throughout eternity. They're keeping it now. As a matter of fact, they're having their Sabbath services right now, the same time we're doing it. So this then declares quite boldly that the law of God is eternal, not just for those living on earth before and after the cross of Christ, but as well as for anyone that enters the city of heaven, as well as those that are on those other worlds that Paul and the Spirit of Prophecy speak of, right? And here's the thing. What the church, the Catholic Church, calls the Lord Prayer, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name thing, doesn't it end with, how does it end? With, like your will's done in heaven as it is, your will's done on earth as it is in heaven? That's talking about the law. What Jesus said that day was an outline for prayer, but they seem to think it's an actual prayer. But if you look at John chapter 17, when Jesus is actually praying, that entire chapter is him praying before he's arrested. Yeah, he's using the outline of what they call the Lord's Prayer. And for those assuming that the law will not be necessary in heaven due to believing their apostate pastors, notice what the last book of the Bible and the last page of that book has to say to that assumption, where they say it's abolished at the cross. You know, let's ignore the fact that they don't read their Bibles. Let's ignore the fact that they don't know the angels keep the law. Okay? Eternal angels. And they're not going to change because the God they worship doesn't change. We know about that. It says it quite plainly in Revelation 22, verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. If the law of God was abolished at the cross, as the apostate leaders keep claiming, then why is it still mentioned as being in force when the people of God enter into the city of heaven after the second coming of Christ? They can't get in the city unless they're keeping it, because that's the law of the land. You know, you break laws down here, they throw you behind bars. You can't get out of that jail until you agree to not break the law. And we all know how far that goes, because the recidivism rate in prisons is like upwards of 80% now. In other words, they leave, they come back. 80% of the guys end up back in prison. Especially in today's world, with the way they manipulate, you know, they don't give these guys a second chance, so they can't get a job. Or even guys in the military, that's disgusting. These guys put their lives on the line to go out there and, you know, with the freedom, even though today the military is mostly just corporate officials with guns, even though they don't know this. Because the governments of today are more or less moneymakers. It's no longer about morals and national patriotism. It's all about corporations. It's business. You know, that's why you have a businessman as president right now, and before. That's why these presidents, even though they only make $100,000 or $150,000 a year to be a president, they walk out of there making millions. I mean, look at the Clintons, the crazy amount of hundreds of millions of dollars they make. So, but. If the law was abolished, how can they get into the city? And rightly so. How can, I mean, we know the law of God is attacked when Rome demands all people on earth deny to keep their blasphemous Sunday Sabbath as law instead. I mean, just by looking at their actions, we can see what's going on here. We were talking about this last night, you know, with the grandkids, about how the Satanist will invert. Because Satan is going to use everything that God does because it works, but he's got to put his twist on it because he hates God, right? And so when you look at the cross of Christ, you look at a Satanist and he turns it upside down. And we were actually showing how if you touch your forehead and then touch your chest and you go to left shoulder, right shoulder, like the Catholics do with the sign of the cross. I did a video about this. It's actually an upside down cross. And so the way that they keep, in other words, the Bible says the Sabbath is the seventh day. The Vatican says, no, it's Sunday. It's the first day. Even though there's no Bible verses to back it up. It's just like the Bible says, don't call any man on earth your father, and they say, you better call the priest father. You know, I mean, just as people eat and drink unclean things, ignoring all that the Bible warns about such things so as to eventually succumb to a fatal disease, those that obey the apostate preacher over and above the Creator who made that preacher, they will also die in the same flames that caused Satan and his angels to turn to ash. You know, it wasn't until Lucifer, that was his name before he fell, it wasn't until Lucifer rebelled to the point of being renamed Beelzebub, or Satan as he prefers, seeing how Beelzebub is a name that depicts his end. It's a prophetic name. It means God of the dung, because that's all he's going to rule over for that 1,000 years, of just rotting bodies. You know, and so until the sin entered into the universe because of him, no one in the universe had a sense as the end results of what the end results would be of breaking God's law. In other words, there was no sense of the restrictions of the law. For as James chapter 2, verse 12 puts it, God's law is a law of liberty. Right? Satan, of course, had to twist that around. So, in other words, those who obey the law live in perfect peace with perfect freedom. I mean, the Lord even heals their land, right? It says right in there. And if I was a betting man, dollars to donuts, that, you know, that Dies Domini that John Paul II put out, they're going to use that Bible verse where it says, if you keep the law, the Lord will heal your land. They're going to use that during the climate change. Watch for it. I think I got it somewhere on my climate change page that, yeah, it's a no-brainer. It's just like what they did with Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. When the Katrina thing went down, they went to people's houses door to door and asked and told them, the law says, you got to give up your guns because we got looting and everything like that going on. And a lot of people gave them up, but some of them that were Christians refused. And so what they did is they got their pastors to go around and echo Romans 13 verses 1 to 7, took it way out of context, and told them, you got to obey, you know, your pastors. Well, they're going to do the same thing with this. They're going to say, you got to keep Sunday holy to stop all the disasters. We want God to heal our land. And so those that keep the law are going to have the perfect peace and the perfect freedom without any thought of that which happens if you break the law. You know, speaking specifically of the angel, let's say, before the law was broken by Satan when he did the first lie. Because after describing the end result of having the law written in our hearts, wherein Paul describes the fruit of the heart, he says this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 23. He says, against there is no such law. He says, against such there is no law. In other words, there is no commandment that condemns obedience to the law of God. And so not a single thought could come to the mind of any angel or even a Christian today when it comes towards breaking it. It's only when a man disobeys the law does he realize the authority the law has over him. That's why Paul said what he did in Romans 7:7, which was, Romans 7:7, he said, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. I mean, since Satan was only cast to earth, we alone, who, by the way, are the future ambassadors of Christ and all the universe, this means only we will know about how sin works in eternity. I mean, the angels are going to know, too, because they saw Lucifer had his name changed to Beelzebub. They saw how he got cast to the earth, and they saw what happened after that. Our peace was stolen from us the split second we walked into the camp of Satan, which, as we know, brought all of mankind into sin to the point there is none righteous, no, not one, as Paul puts it in Romans 3:10. But when we gain Christ as Lord, and I mean truly to the point, you know, everything from dress reform to health reform, only then is he Lord of our lives. Other than before that, we're just giving him lip service. We're saying, yeah, you're my Lord, I love you, you're my Savior, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven, but boy, I'm going to chomp down on this pork chop regardless of what you say in the Bible, and I love my booze, you know, and stuff like that. Once he becomes Lord, he gives us perfect peace in life because we know we're not doing those things that can harm us spiritually or physically. And so you're going to have that perfect peace. You know, when the dying God of this world rebelled against the law of the Creator God in heaven, the reality that there was such a thing as transgression of the law finally became apparent to the angels that didn't bow to Satan's lies. You know, I've said before, I repeat now, the angels never even heard a lie before Satan spewed the first one. It was totally foreign to them because they lived in perfect peace. The law is liberty, right? And so they lived in perfect peace, as is possible for each and every one of us when we give Jesus Christ real eternal lordship over our hearts and let him have reign over us. I mean, after all, how will we ever be a trustworthy ambassador for Jesus Christ when we gain heaven if we can't bow to him on earth before we get there? See, that's why a lot of the people in the remnant movement have already changed to the Edenic diet. We're vegans. You know? And another thing, once they realized what sin was, you know, the angels, they also discovered something else they never heard of, and that was death. Death alone proved to them just how powerful God's law really was. I mean, if it wasn't powerful, why did Jesus have to die?
I mean, seriously, if it was abolishing the cross, he could have abolished it before he got there. He didn't have to die. That's how strong it is. You can't change the law. You don't believe me? Well, talk to the king that threw Daniel in the lion's den and how much he wanted to change that law. He can't change a law that's been sealed. Or in Esther's day, when Ahasuerus did what he did, he couldn't change the law that Haman put down because he gave him his ring and he sealed it. But he gave Mordecai the ring too. And then he wrote a law that says, okay, now the Jews can defend themselves. And so praise God. In other words, their weapons fell useless at their side. Those people that wanted to kill the Jews on the 13th day of the 12th month. You know, so they had just like it's going to happen with the Gideon band. They're going to want to kill us. The law is going to be passed. It'll be all set, ready to go, and then their weapons are going to fall useless at their side. Same thing. Read the book of Esther. You'll know what's coming in the coming days. So, praise God, 2/3 of the angels made the right choice to trust the God of love and then decided not to follow Satan into hellfire to die with him. This eternal law that Jesus described via the tongue of his prophet, King David, was declared in Psalm 40, verse 8, which says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Now think about that. Long before Paul declared that God's law is on the fleshly tables of the heart, David prophesied to that fact. You know, the guy's a prophet, so it's obviously going to happen. But before the earth was created, the angels had the law within their hearts. Thousands of years ago, David said the law was in his heart. 2,000 years ago, Paul said Christ writes the law in our hearts, and even unto our generation in these very last days, and in the very near future, our Lord declared through his prophet John in Revelation 22:14 that blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into the city. So from start to finish, there's the Ten Commandments. But because we're in the last days and they're really puffing it up to the point where they're saying God's law is abolished at the cross, and they say it's legal to change it. That's what the prophet Daniel said. They're going to change times and laws, didn't he? It's all happening exactly as the Bible says. So yes, brothers and sisters, the law of God is in fact eternal, just as is his kingdom. And the eternal sanctuary within the city, as well as the mercy seat of our God that literally sits above his written law within the most holy place in all the universe. If the law wasn't important, why is that law part and parcel to the very throne he's sitting on? And I hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.